From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Be ye separate. The Christian, while in the world, is not to be of the world. He should be distinguished from it in the great object of his life. To him, to live should be Christ. Whether he eats or drinks or whatever he does, he should do all to God's glory. You may lay up treasure, but lay it up in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves break not through nor steal. You may strive to be rich, but be it your ambition to be rich in faith and good works. You may have pleasure, but when you are merry, sing psalms and make melody in your hearts to the Lord. In your spirit, as well as in your aim, you should differ from the world. Waiting humbly before God, always conscious of His presence, delighting in communion with Him, and seeking to know His will, you will prove that you are of heavenly race. And you should be separate from the world in your actions. If a thing be right, though you lose by it, it must be done. If it be wrong, though you would gain by it, you must scorn the sin for your master's sake. You must have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Walk worthy of your high calling and dignity. Remember, O Christian, that thou art a son of the King of Kings. Therefore, keep thyself unspotted from the world. Soil not the fingers which are soon to sweep celestial strings. Let not these eyes become the windows of lust, which are soon to see the King in His beauty. Let not those feet be defiled in miry places, which are soon to walk the golden streets. Let not those hearts be filled with pride and bitterness, which are ere long to be filled with heaven, and to overflow with ecstatic joy. Then rise, my soul, and soar away above the thoughtless crowd, above the pleasures of the gay and splendors of the proud, up where eternal beauties bloom and pleasures all divine, where wealth that never can consume and endless glories shine.
I shall see the King in His beauty, in the land that is far away. When the shadows at length have lifted, and the darkness has turned to day, to behold the Chief of 10,000, ah, my soul, this were joy enough. Suffice for the bliss of heaven, that the Lamb is the light thereof. I shall see Him in the glory, the Lamb that once was slain. Now I'll then resound the wondrous story with all
can tell the glorious meeting when the Lord shall bring home his own?
With one sight all his saints are raptured, the Lamb in the midst of the throne.
I shall see. Was slain. How then resounds unto story with all the ransom train. Alleluia, alleluia, to the Lamb that once was slain. Alleluia, alleluia, to the slain.
I shall see him, I shall be like him, by one glance of his face transformed.
And this body of sin and darkness
to the image of Christ conformed. I shall see.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean? Or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant Word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Simply write, "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak," 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
As he continues this series of studies of the law of God, Dr. Alan Cairns is preaching a message entitled, Love for God, in showing that love for God and for men is what gives power to true religion. Dr. Cairns has been explaining the ingredients of that love. To love God, we must know Him through His Word. That knowledge will lead us to delight in Him, to desire Him, and to develop a confiding trust in Him. The exercise of our love for God is to involve all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll see how each of these is manifested as Dr. Cairns continues this message, Love for God.
Now, the Lord Jesus, in their Bible reading tonight, is quoted as saying, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's really quoting from Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Not an exact word-for-word quotation, but if you take Deuteronomy and then Matthew, and you'll look at parallel passages in Mark 12 and 30 and Luke 10 and 27, you'll find that there are actually four words that are used. We're to love God with all our heart. That always comes first in all the lists. With all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Now, there is a way in which those words really are all saying the same thing. There is a way in which the Lord is simply piling word upon word to say, love God with everything that's in your being. That's true. And yet, I can't help but think that He didn't choose these words for no particular reason. Love God with all your heart. We must love the Lord affectionately. There is a genuine affection. I know that many people, this seems to be more and more true of the intellectual among God's people. So I have to warn quite a few of you who are obviously in the intellectual segment of society to distrust emotion in religion. You can get to a place where you look down on those emotional people. Now, there is an emotion that's all wrong. The charismatic hype that simply works upon people's emotions, that uses the techniques of the world in order that emotions may be wrought within these people, that then they may be manipulable. That is all wrong. But was there not deep emotion in Isaiah when he saw the glory of God in His tree and filling the temple? Was there not deep emotion when he cried, I am a man of unclean lips and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of the Apostle John in Revelation chapter 1 when he saw on the Isle of Patmos that vision of the glorified Christ and he fell at His feet as one dead? Was there not deep emotion in the heart of our Savior in Gethsemane's garden when His very sweat was like blood? I tell you, there must be an emotion that is deep and real, that is wrought out of the very depths of our being because of the greatness and the grandeur and the glory of the vision of our God. Only people who see little or nothing of the beauty of Jesus can be people without emotion in their religion. Give us a sight of Christ and we'll weep like children. Give us a sight of the glory of God and the sepulchral grandeur that we think so great that we can sit in church unmoved. It will melt like snow before the rays of the sun, and our hearts will be broken before God. I tell you, we need to learn to love affectionately. I quote the bride in Solomon's song again. In the 5th chapter, my beloved put his hand by the hole of the door. My bowels were moved for him. My heart was moved for him. I wonder, do you know anything of loving God with that kind of affection? That with your whole being, it's as if your inwards were being dragged out of you in a yearning for God. Not just for his blessings, not just for his gifts, but for God himself. My bowels were moved for him. My beloved, says the bride, is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Yea, he is altogether lovely. God give us an affectionate love. But then we must love the Lord with all our soul. We must love the Lord spiritually. This love is no mere fuzzy feeling. When I say we must love the Lord spiritually, I'm saying this love is a powerful inclination of the will, and it is a firm dedication of all our faculties to promote the glory of God. That is spiritual love. And then we must love the Lord with all our mind. We must love the Lord reasonably. As I've indicated, love for God often will produce a deep ecstasy of soul. But listen now, it will never suspend the functions of the mind. How often we hear charismatics and Pentecostalists telling people to let their mind go blank. Anytime anybody tells you to let your mind go blank, you know you're not dealing with a messenger of God, but a messenger of Satan. Let your mind go blank. Just let the feelings arise. Let the feelings take over. Don't think. The very opposite to what the Word of God actually says. Those who are carried away in unthinking swoons may claim deep emotion, but it's not biblical love. Listen, those who love the Lord think of him. What is the great crime of the wicked? Psalm 10 and 4 says, God is not in all his thoughts. God's people think of him. They love to remember his grace and his power. Peter told the young Christians to whom he wrote in 2 Peter 1:13, I think it meet to stir you up. There's the emotion. I think it meet to stir you up. How? By putting you in remembrance. God's people remember. They love to remember. For example, do we not love to remember Calvary? Is that not why we meet around the table of the Lord? This do in remembrance of me. Do we not in prayer and in praise day by day seek to make our way to the cross, that remembering Christ our souls may be satisfied? We love to remember our conversion. Can we ever forget the grace of God extended to us? He took me from a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. We remember our conversion. We remember past blessings. The psalmist said in the 116th psalm, as he considered this very thing, that he would love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Bless God for every blessing that's passed. We love to think, we love to remember. But most of all, I say most of all because this is most important of all, not because it is most observed of all, for unfortunately it's not. God's people love to reason through the implications of the gospel. Dr. Barrett this morning commenced the morning service by reading from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14, one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, then all died. If one died for all for whom he died, died in him. That's what he said. Now Paul is saying, we judge, we discern, we deduce, we logically think through the implications of the gospel. And I say to you, my friend, that's how to love God reasonably. And I'll give you this hint as a Christian. The more deeply you pursue the implications of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more deeply you will know your Savior, and the more deeply you will love your God. Then we must love the Lord energetically, because we are told we have to love Him with all our strength. Love leads to action. Love is not going to leave you sitting in the corner twiddling your thumbs doing nothing for God. Love knows nothing of empty theory and vain words. Someone has said, you may love or you may give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Love can never be inactive. You think of a mother's love, of a father's love, of a spouse's love, and see what men and women have done, what mighty exploits they have done in pursuit of such a love. And yet love for God should transcend them all. We must love Him with all our strength. Can I say to you today that it is just not right that God's people offer to the Savior the burnt out ends of their lives? So many Christians' lives remind me of a cigarette that somebody has puffed and puffed until there's just a little bit left. That little bit of your time, that little bit of your energy, that little bit of your thought, that little bit of your activity, that's what you give to God. God forbid. God forbid. Whatever your calling in life, you're to love the Lord with all your strength. Whatever you do, do it as unto Him. Wherever you're working, work as a witness for Christ, both by deed and by word. Love the Lord energetically. Then can I say, we must love the Lord preeminently. We must love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. We must love the Lord preeminently. If we do not, as Thomas Boston again implied, if we do not love the Lord above all, then we do not truly love Him at all. It's a far-reaching statement. If you don't love Him above all, can you honestly claim to love Him at all? We must love Him preeminently.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.